Welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, the show designed to help make middle age your prime time of life by defying the notion that once you reach 40, 50, or even 60 years old, your crowning achievements are all behind you. Regardless of whether you're just approaching 40 or are firmly entrenched in your middle years, it's time to launch your very own personal journey toward a joyful and purpose-filled second half of life. Each week, host Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, will discuss the challenges common to middle age and help guide you to a brighter tomorrow. Now, here's Roy.
Well, hello and welcome once again to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age. I'm your host, Roy Richards, and today we continue our series of programs on midlife recovery. And we're talking about recovery from all types of setbacks, whether you feel like you're personally responsible for a problem or it's something completely beyond your control. We're talking about things like job loss, relationship breakup, addiction, loss through death of a loved one, obviously a traumatic experience, a health crisis, or maybe a chronic condition like stress or depression that we talked about last week, or just a downright unhappy life experience thus far. You know, you say to yourself, well, you know, at my age, this is not where I want to be. And back in February, we had this guest on to describe five New Year's resolutions that will get you absolutely nowhere in 2013. And this time he'll talk about a much more positive subject, how you and I can recover from a midlife setback in our personal or professional lives. And along the way, he'll introduce you to some very inspiring individuals who themselves have accomplished amazing results against impossible odds. And our guest, return guest today, is Sean Anderson, America's Extra Mile Man. Sean is a best-selling author, motivational speaker, personal coach, and a corporate trainer. And he's also founder of the nonprofit Extra Mile Foundation. And he started a nationwide Extra Mile Day, and that was held last November 1st, 2012, with 361 cities participated. Hello, Sean, and welcome back to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Privilege to be here, Roy. How are you today?
Oh, I'm doing fine. I'm trying to go that extra mile. What exactly do you mean by the term go that extra mile?
Well, often people want change in their life. They want either more money, they want better health, they want better relationships, and just wanting is never enough. Wanting means continuing just to go the status quo and getting the same results that you're getting. But if you truly want to create this change that you want in your life, you've got to do more than you're doing now.
The dumbest thing is to keep complaining about where you are now and not really doing anything about it, isn't it?
That's right. I mean, you can continue to keep complaining or you can do a little bit more than you're doing. If you're a salesman and you're not making the calls, then you make a few calls. If you're not happy with your health and that extra weight than you're doing, then you need to walk that extra 10 minutes a day. You need to eat one less Big Mac a week. Whatever it might be, you've just got to go the extra mile.
Yeah, and how about in a relationship? You seek to find harmony or you place somebody else's interests on the same par with your own, or...
Absolutely. What, you know, so often in relationships, people are wanting to know what the partner is giving them. You know, what are you giving in this relationship? You know, what are you doing? And if people quit asking, what are you doing, and they start asking, what am I doing, and they just do a little bit more, if they go the extra mile, they do that gesture, that extra mile gesture that's not expected, it's so unbelievably amazing that what will come back to you is very much sometimes the same thing you're giving.
Yeah, and as you've mentioned somewhere on your website, I think there's really nothing better than when you encourage somebody else, and when you're an inspiration to somebody else, the returns you get back from that feeling that you've helped somebody else gain the same type of satisfaction you have can be wonderful.
Well, you're absolutely right. That's why I do what I do. You know, I've done businesses in my life, and I've made money, but nothing has been more fulfilling than really inspiring other people. At the end of my life, I think when I take my last breath and have my last thought, it's going to be more focused on the people that I serve, the people that I encourage, the people that I inspired, rather how much money I have in the bank.
Yeah, that's really how you live on, is who else you've inspired. Like you say, you're putting your footprints in cement, not in sand.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. I mean, it's a big deal to me. What legacy are you leaving in your life? What difference are you making in your life? What lessons are you passing forward? We're all passing something forward. It's just a matter of whether that's going to be a positive or negative footprint, and I'm going to do everything I can to make sure that mine are positive and they last a long time, very much like you, I'm sure.
Well, why is it essential that you have something that I don't think I've ever talked to anyone else about, really, and that you have your own personal mission statement in life. Tell us what that mission statement is, and how would we go about developing our own mission statement? Because I think that sounds like a great idea.
Well, you know, every single business anybody's ever been a part of, probably somewhere in their brochure or their information, it says, this is what we do, this is our mission statement, this is what we stand for, this is why you should give us business. And really, human beings, individuals, us, we are our own corporations, our own businesses that have been put here to do something positive, to do something good, to do something in service to others. But what is that exactly? I created a mission statement for myself to help me answer the big questions in life and the little questions, like what should I do now, which direction should I go? And my mission statement is very simple, to empower 1 million people to lead a more positive and purposeful existence. So every business thing, every article I write, every connection that I make, it's with that purpose of really following through. And when you have that purpose and you're taking a step towards it every single day, that's when a difference starts to be made, because this is where you have value. It says, this is why I'm here. This is what I'm all about. And I encourage so many people to find their niche. It doesn't have to be something dramatic like empowering 1 million people, but why are you here? What difference are you making? Incorporate that into a very short, memorable mission statement. Start living it and watch your life become really powerful.
Yeah, you know, if you're going that extra mile and you don't know where you're going because you don't have a mission statement, you're kind of going in circles, I guess. You may be
going
an extra mile in circles.
Yeah, then life becomes more random. You see, I'm not for life being random. I'm not for letting things just happen to me. I'm one that wants to create my own path, and the things that I want to bring them, I want to draw them, I want to attract them to me. And when you have a mission statement, it helps you take positive goal-setting, accountability-setting steps every single day towards what you want in your life, what you want in your relationships, what you want in your career, what you want for your health, your finances, every part of your life.
Yeah, your mention of living life at a random reminds me of what we talk about in my book and on this program of sleepwalking through life, where you're really not aware of where you're headed or why you want to go there. You're just sort of letting somebody else manage things and going with the flow. You know, last week we talked about on the program the difference between the opposite of success is not really so much failure. The opposite is just being normal or going with the flow or, you know, trying as your goal to be average or the same as everybody else, because you're really not going to accomplish much that way.
I would think that would be such a horrible way to live. That would be so boring to me. A long time ago, one of the words that I grew to dislike more than any other word is the word mediocrity.
Oh, yeah.
And if better is possible, good is never enough. A mediocre existence for your health, for your relationships, why would you ever choose mediocre for yourself? If there were two plates of food on a table and one was amazing and one was mediocre and you knew it ahead of time, would you choose the mediocre plate?
Would you not go unless to a restaurant that advertised it we're as good
yeah,
as the
absolutely.
Next our food is absolutely mediocre.
Yeah, could you imagine? Yes, I'm going to have one. I'll have one entree of the mediocre, and once you give me a dessert of the mediocre too, I'll take both of those. Thank you.
We have a restaurant in the neighborhood that my friend went to, and he described it. Talk about mediocre. He said I'd call it like it's probably as good as army food.
Well, you know that, and in every aspect of our life, let's take our relationships. Yeah, you think everybody, when they got married, they signed up to have one mediocre marriage? Yeah, I'm here, and I promise you the most mediocre marriage you'll ever have. I'll be mediocre every single day. Expect mediocrity.
Or worse, in sickness and health, I promise to be a mediocre spouse.
Yeah, that's exactly right. How many jobs do you think we could get, Roy, if the guy said, so tell me about you. And I sat down, and I said, well, I've got to tell you, Mr. Richards, I'm probably the most mediocre employee you'll ever find. mind. Well, I promise to come to work every day and do my job mediocre.
My performance was pretty average in the last company, and I sort of went with the flow, but I didn't do anything really bad. I didn't do anything really great either, but, you know, I was there every day except when I was out sick.
Well, that was, you know, and but you're not the same person now, though, are you?
No, I'm still mediocre. Well, if you were to summarize it all in one sentence, what's the one secret to turning things around, to making your dreams come true?
Choice. I can give you one word, choice.
Yeah, that's a good word. I think you also mentioned to keep asking what if in the future, not the past tense, like what if I'd done this 10 years ago instead of something else. It's what if I did it now or tried something different.
Yeah, what if's a word of a possibility. What if I brought flowers home to my wife today for no reason at all? What would happen?
Yeah.
What if, you know, just what if questions like that. I mean, if you want to really add crazy excitement and positive stuff in this world, start doing what ifs for people like that and you'll see what happens.
Yeah. Yeah, what if is so much more a positive term than if only, which we talk about in my book. You know, if only I'd done this, if I'd only married Bill instead of Fred, or if only I'd committed to college, you know, you go back and browbeat yourself over what you should have done in the past or what opportunities you missed out on. That's a pretty sorry state to be in.
Yeah, it's that must be really hard for people when their best days are really, really behind them. I'm 50 years old now, and I've got to believe, I believe with every fiber in my being that my greatest success, my greatest relationships, my greatest peace, my greatest harmony, my greatest health is still ahead of me. That is my choice. And because I've made that choice, I will also have goals for each of those that I will take action towards that will make that choice come true.
Yeah.
I believe it with every fiber of my being.
There's nothing more sad than somebody who turns 50 and says, well, my best years are behind me now. I'm turning into an old person, and from now on I'll just hang in there until retirement, and then things will be great.
Yeah, I got to believe that's really depressing.
Well, the extra mile sounds great, but how about some practical advice on how to get started on it? Could you give us like a few extra mile routines that we could follow to start creating that extraordinary life that we all want?
Well, I think the number one thing that I really got to remind people of is just this word that nobody really likes. It's the word accountability.
Yeah.
You know, because we might choose to walk a certain direction, but unless we have some sort of mechanism in place that keeps us walking that way, we're going to get tired. That's just human nature. We're going to see that lemonade stand on the side of the road, and we're going to stop there, and it's going to feel pretty good, and we're going to hang out for too long.
Yeah.
So the accountability is to either create some sort of journal for yourself and really hold yourself to monitoring your progress every single day, or better yet, to find a partner,
yeah.
A partner who wants to create personal change in their life too, and you each hold the other accountable to what you're doing. And that's the biggest thing, because I can assure you, Roy, that whatever you want in your life, it's going to be tough to get there those first few steps. Any big goal is. And we're going to get tired. We're going to want to quit. That's human nature. We want to quit. But the spirit of human nature, I also believe, we want to succeed. We want to reach our potential. And without accountability, we never will.
Yeah, that's right. No, we always say that renewing together is so much easier than trying to do it all on your own, especially you know, if you're married or living in a partnership. It's very tough to renew by yourself if your partner is your life partner is still stuck in negative. And of course the positive is as you change, you're likely to bring your partner along as you become more positive. But it really helps if both of you have goals together and are accountable to each other. It can really make a difference.
Yeah, absolutely. But you know, in today's social media world, it's so easy to connect with other people, and it doesn't even have to be in your city, in your state, in your country, who are kindred spirits in wanting to create change for themselves. And you know, you can find somebody else that's out there that will hold you accountable. There are groups, there's organizations, there's all sorts of things that people that want to live positively. You know, it's just the same as a travel organization, for example. Say that you want to travel and you don't want to go by yourself. Well, you hook up with a travel organization. That's accountability to go, you know, do travel. There's all sorts of different ways.
Well, in implementing the extra mile. Can you give us any tips for getting past a really bad day or a stretch of bad days? Say you've just heard from the IRS that they're going to do an audit, or a friend makes a real hurtful remark, or a boss gives you too much to do, and or maybe you're stuck in an horrendous traffic jam on the good old 405, or you know, something like that. How do we get around that bad stretch that just about everybody has in their life from now and then?
Well, I believe it's to make sure that bad day doesn't turn into two bad days in a row, and that is purposeful living. That's really understanding that today was a really bad day and making a concerted effort to take actions tomorrow that will generate a little bit more success. It's because when we start letting negative momentum start to build, it's like pushing a snowball down the hill. It keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger unless we do something to thwart it, to stop it. It is absolutely okay to give yourself a day off to go fishing because bad days happen. But when you know that you're having a bad day, I believe the best thing to do is probably stop, go do something fun, and don't give yourself an opportunity to keep that negative snowball going.
Yeah,
start over tomorrow.
This is great if you can get out and go for a walk or
absolutely.
Something. I also liked your suggestion on your website that go read a few pages out of a positive book, or you can reach out to another person and try to make his or her day better if you're having a lousy day. Sometimes that'll work.
Well, sure. When we take the focus off ourselves and we focus on someone else and try to lift them up, it's amazing that we end up lifting ourselves up too. When we choose to inspire, we become inspired.
Yeah, that's,
when we do something positive for another, we become positive. It's
an interesting
principle.
It may be worthwhile to identify mistakes or things you could have avoided if you can do better the next time, but it's obviously not worthwhile beating yourself over the head for something that you made, a mistake you made, if that caused a bad day. But
no, you know, and I'm no different than any other person. I get my fair share of rejections. I get, you know, organizations that chose another speaker rather than myself. I get book sales that I thought were going to be, you know, maybe an order of 50 book sales, and it comes back one or two.
Yeah.
You know, sure. I mean, so there's things like that are down, but I don't let the moment create down for my life. It's just a moment. That's all it is. Whether or not that moment gets magnified is up to me. I could go, oh my gosh, I must be the worst speaker now in the world because I didn't get hired by that one particular group.
Yeah, that's
well,
exactly
gonna,
right.
Yeah, if I'm going to think that, that's what's going to happen.
Yeah, that's exactly right. Well, let's move on to a few stories of people who overcame obstacles or made big changes in midlife. Why don't we start with your own personal story? What motivated you when you were in your late 40s to undertake a 4,000-mile bike ride and interviewing 200 people across the country and really changing things up? What inspired you to change your life that you were leading at that time and really do something new and different?
Well, I had owned a pretty significant sized business in Los Angeles at that time, and in 2007, and I'd gotten rid of that business. And in 2009, I had some freedom to do what I wanted to do, but so many of my friends and the people around me in the news started just really getting negative. Businesses were closing, even banks in California were closing, and foreclosures were at an all-time high, divorces were up. I mean, there was so much negative news running in 2008, 2009. Yeah, you probably remember. And people started looking to the government, and they started saying, you know, what program are you going to create to help me keep my house? What program are you going to help me to keep, you know, whatever? They looked at their boss and said, what are you doing to make sure our business stays afloat and that I continue to make my money?
Yeah.
And people started looking at everybody else to create happiness and success for them, except for who?
Except for
themselves, right? Themselves.
Yeah.
And so I wanted to use my small voice, and I wanted to remind people that if you truly wanted to create change in life, you don't look to somebody else. You don't look to the government, to the school board, to your wife, to your boss. You look at the man or the woman in the mirror. And not only do you look at that person in the mirror, but you don't keep walking the same status quo mode. If you do, you're going to get the same status quo results. So you need to go the extra mile. As a symbol of going the extra mile, I took my non-bicyclist body, and again, I'm a non-bicyclist, 4,000 miles across the country. And so that's kind of neat in a Forrest Gump sort of way, I suppose. But the real power of that tour was I created motivational events in 21 cities, many with the mayors of those cities, where I had the privilege of interviewing over 200 people who have been identified as having gone the extra mile in life, in either overcoming defeat, tragedy, failure, or in chasing a dream and making something brilliant happen.
Yeah, that was really inspiring. And I'd like to just talk about a few of those people that you interviewed, and because their stories are truly amazing. There's a Roxanne Black you mentioned has the Friends Health Connection. Tell us about her background.
Well, Roxanne Black, I'm going back a few years to remember Roxanne, but she was a woman who had been diagnosed with lupus, and she had to have a kidney transplant. She had to have a second kidney transplant.
Yeah.
She had been very, very sick in her whole life. And she took that moment of bad health, and she decided to do something brilliant with it. She said, there are so many other people just like me in this situation, and we don't have anybody else we could really talk to except each other. So she decided to create an organization that brought all of those people that were going through health issues into a network, into an accountability, into a support group, and she created the organization that you said. And from that, it's grown to serve hundreds of thousands of people across the country who are going through tough times, and then they can connect with someone else who's going through tough times too.
Yeah, that's a wonderful idea, and just that was a very inspirational story. There's also extremely inspirational is the story about Creighton Wong, the triathlete who was born without one leg and with some fingers missing.
Yeah, when I first met Creighton Wong in Oakland, California, he came up to me and he shook my hand, and I noticed there were a couple fingers missing on his one hand, and he showed me his other hand, and he had three fingers missing there. He had five fingers missing on both hands. He was also walking with a prosthetic limb. He was born what is called genital amputee.
Yeah.
He was born without one leg, and he was born without fingers.
Oh, wow.
But yet he did not let that stop him. He played Little League. He played all the sports because he never believed in the words, I can't. He only believed in the words, I can. Today he is a triathlete. He can jump into the ocean and swim for 26 miles. He can come to the shore, and he can get on a specially made bicycle with brakes for his hands. And he puts on a special prosthetic limb to pedal. And then when he's through that, he comes back and puts on another special prosthetic limb to run, and he can run up to 26 miles, and he can do them one after another. So how much more can we do with our hands and with our legs and with our eyesight and everything than a Creighton Wong?
Yeah, that's truly inspiring. You mentioned another lady that is blind and climbed one of the highest mountains.
Yeah, Sheila Holdsworth, I met her. She was in her late 40s. She had to be escorted up to me on somebody's arm because she was blind. She had two glass eyes, but she always didn't have the glass eyes. When she was 12 years old, the orthodontic headgear that she was wearing, one day it snapped. And when it snapped, it gouged out both of her eyes.
Oh, wow.
So for the first 12 years of her life, she could see just as you and I could see, but after that, she was forever blind. She could have totally lived a bitter life and said, this is the best life's going to ever be for me. I have to live as a blind person, but Sheila chose not to. She ran marathons. She rode a tandem bicycle across her state. She became a world champion water skier and snow skier, not just getting behind the boat, but she would do tricks. She would do somersaults and flips. And she also became the first blind woman to climb one of the world's tallest mountains, Mount Rainier. She did this all with two artificial glass eyes. She didn't have partial eyesight. She had no eyesight.
Yeah.
So just think of the things that we're afraid of in life, but yet this woman climbs one of the tallest mountains in the world, not even being able to see each step as she went up.
Yeah, that's truly inspiring. And you mentioned Mindy D, who formed this FORE Hope, and she was inspired by her father, who died of Lou Gehrig's disease. And tell about what she started up. I think that's really inspirational.
Mindy Durr, and she started an organization called FORE Hope. Her father, Guy, was a person who loved golf, and her and her father really had a great connection on the golf course. She understood how relationships can grow because of golf. And one day her father, he has a stroke and he's not able to play golf anymore. So Mindy quit her job in life, made it her mission to help other people in life who had strokes find ways to get back on the golf course. So that's what she dedicated her life to. And she's now been going for, oh gosh, I'm not sure exactly how many years, but it's become such a national organization that she's connected with the Professional Golf Association, and she's making a difference all over the country, helping people with strokes, and oftentimes military people who come back with limbs missing. She helps them be able to get back out on the golf course and do great things.
Boy, that's wonderful. And here was a couple you mentioned that, you know, so many people, once they reach middle age, they're afraid to try anything different. But this couple, both the husband and wife, quit their jobs. You know, I think she was a teacher and he was in computers. And they started a cafe called The Same Cafe. And that's Brad and Libby Berkey, I believe. And everyone pays only what they can afford to pay, or what they believe they can afford to pay. And that's a very interesting concept.
Brad and Libby had a passion for helping the homeless, but they thought that the homeless food organization in Denver lacked quality of food, so they decided to both quit their jobs, and they started this restaurant called The Same Cafe. You pay what you can afford to pay, but if you can't afford to pay anything, that doesn't mean you're off scot-free. You can pick up a broom, you can sweep, you can do dishes, you can still earn your food, your meal. The Same Cafe stands for it's the S-A-M-E. It stands for So All May Eat.
Yeah.
The amazing thing about this story is Brad and Libby were picked up by NBC News, and they did a national story on them. And the story was so inspirational across the country that after the story, little restaurants like The Same Cafe started popping up everywhere.
And
so sometimes in life,
what's wonderful about that is that, you know, it's not like the homeless are not getting a handout, because they're expected to contribute through washing dishes or whatever they can contribute there, so that it builds up self-esteem, I would think, as well.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
And everyone eats together, the rich or poor or whatever. It's not just for the downtrodden or the. That's a great idea.
Yeah, and it's an interesting business model too, because so many restaurants that you probably have seen on one of your corners have come and gone. Maybe I know on one of the corners near my house, there's been three or four different restaurants that have tried an existence there. But the Same Cafe has now been in business for, I think, 8 or 9 years under this model where, you know, if we walked into the restaurant, we wouldn't see prices on a menu. We wouldn't get a bill at the end. But that model is really working well.
And the final example I want to touch on is a lady who is 95, and she's been a hospital volunteer for 49 years, so that I don't want the baby boomers to say they're too old to volunteer or accomplish something in their lives. Tell us about Rania Kinniston, I believe it is.
Yeah, I met Raina Kinniston in Sacramento, California, and she was the sweetest little lady. And at that time when I met her, she was 95. I think she's probably around 99 now, and I know she's still volunteering, but she's been volunteering at the same place, Mercy Hospital, you know, for over 50 years now.
Yeah.
And she's put in over 50,000 hours. And if someone were to do the math on how many, you know, full-time work years that would be, she's worked full-time there for 23 or 24 years, something like that. I asked her, I said, Raina, why did you choose Mercy Hospital to volunteer? She said, this is where life is. You know, this is where I was when my son was born. This is where I was when my son died. This is where I was when my husband died. This is where my friends and my neighbors were when they got their good news and their bad news. And I just wanted to live my life being somewhere that supported people in their good times and their bad times. She,
in her 90s, she was getting up at 6:10 a.m. every day, or 3 days a week, to get on a bus.
Yep. And then she would catch a train. She was doing that on her own. And it was only until around the age of 96 or 97 where she required someone to drive her to her gig. But before that, she was just doing it on her own.
Yeah, well, we don't have a lot of time left, but tell us about some of your books, A Better Life, An Inspiring Story About Starting Over, and that other book, Extra Mile America. What are some of those books, and how can somebody obtain those?
Well, Extra Mile America, Stories of Inspiration, Possibility, and Purpose, is very much like a chicken soup for the soul type book. It chronicles what it was like to pedal a bicycle across the country, but it also chronicles the in-depth story of many of these amazing people that I met. It shares their individual victories of walking through tragedies, defeats, failures. You can go into any bookstore. You can pick them up on Amazon, you can, or you can go to my website, seananderson.com. In fact, if anybody orders one of the books through my website and they just drop me an email and they said that I heard you on Roy's show, I will send them another book called Amicus 101.
Oh, I see.
And it's a fun book. It's a fictional book about a guy who loses his job in midlife He doesn't know what to do, and he meets an interesting teacher by the name of Amicus, who teaches him 21 life lessons that changes him from the inside out. So anybody that says, I heard you on Roy and orders Extra Mile America, I'll send out Amicus 101 too.
That's great. And you also offer coaching services and corporate training. And I also notice that people can contribute to your nonprofit Extra Mile Foundation, and you give people gifts for certain levels of donations.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's a 501c3, so your donation is tax deductible. If someone really believes passionately in this Go the Extra Mile message, you know, we would more than welcome their donation. Every single person that works for Extra Mile America is a volunteer. Nobody gets paid any money at all. It's all about going the extra mile, doing something that we love, and that's encouraging, inspiring people to get back up off the ground when life punches them in the gut.
Yeah, and that's you've heard a few examples of some people have done just that, and it's whatever life has handed us, and we all get handled our setbacks, but it makes a world of difference whether we're going to be CEO of ourselves going forward and make that decision that we're going to go that extra mile and recover, or whether we're just going to sit around for years and collect unemployment or complain that you know, life handed us a bad hand, and we can't do anything about it, and that's such a pointless way to live. And we want to thank you so much, Sean, for coming back and giving us those inspiring stories, and I hope people are ready to start going that extra mile like you suggest.
Well, I appreciate that, Roy. Thank you for doing what you do. Thank you for planting positive seeds out there. Thank you for giving people an opportunity to really be inspired to grow and to realize that when life knocks you down, you still have a choice whether to get back up or not.
Yep, we're at midlife, and we can make the second half be meaningful and happy and fulfilled by helping others and helping ourselves and going in that extra mile. And thanks so much, Sean, for joining us.
Thank you, Roy. You create a great day.
Well, 12 million Americans remain unemployed, many of them middle-aged and off work for an extended period. Perhaps this includes you, or maybe you're just sick and tired of working for someone else. For some, starting up or buying a small business may be an option, or maybe you already own one. Conventional wisdom says that the first step to launching a thriving small business is to prepare a comprehensive business plan, and that's what we're going to talk about in this segment. But let me begin with a story. Back in 1989, I joined with three other people to launch a unique specialty insurance company, and our concept was based loosely on the prior experience of one of our founders, and I was the finance guy, and I prided myself on developing a comprehensive financial plan on my personal computer. Now, PCs back then were not as sophisticated as they are now, but my model was really cool. You could plug in a few numbers for premium, loss, and expense ratios, and the model would spit out profit projections and return on investment, all that kind of good stuff for several years in the future. The problem was, although we had made grandiose projections of how much revenue we were going to produce, the four of us never really took the time to determine precisely who our target customers were and what would differentiate us from all our competition. And the bottom line is, we attracted some preliminary attention, but we never got our venture capital firms to commit to any financing. And after a few months, we just gave up and went our separate ways. And our next guest, I'm certain, would say our results were highly predictable. Our guest is Nikki Pfeiffer, a top business strategist and a lifestyle expert who applies creativity and design skills to solving business problems. And she created a multi-million-dollar technology business in just 18 months. And she recently invented what she calls the Wine Gabby. It's a purse which converts into a wine carrier, and it's pretty cool. And I'm sure she'll want to talk about that later. But best of all for us, she has a passion for helping other budding entrepreneurs. And hello, Nikki, and welcome to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age.
Oh, thanks so much. Thanks for having me on.
Well, not to discourage potential entrepreneurs, and God knows we need them, but what is the number one reason why most businesses are set up to fail right out of the gate?
You know, the number one reason most businesses are set up to fail right out of the gate is because the traditional approach to business planning, or how to plan your business, it's not effective. Things have changed.
I'm an expert on that, on how not to plan a business.
Yeah, and you could think about it. It's, if you look back, the whole reason for the traditional way of business planning is for people that were typically, going to maybe go and get funding from a bank, and, the bank required that. But, how people are starting a business today is vastly different. And, there's just a lot better and quicker ways to do that with, instead of trying to write a 60-page business plan.
Yeah, well, what are some critical questions that you need to ask yourself before you start your business today?
Yeah, I think the first one is, really the most important is, why are you starting a business?
Yeah, that's a pretty good question.
and not
just because I need to make some money. That's not quite good enough.
Yeah, it's, a lot of people looking to get out of that 9-to-5 grind, or, maybe not liking the job they're in, but, in all honesty, running your own business, it's not for everybody. So I think really understanding why you're wanting to start a business, because, in the beginning, there's some, you're going to encounter some rough waters, and you need to be in it for more than the money. There really needs to be some sort of passion or some sort of why that really, keeps you going every day.
Yeah, that's true. It's got to be, you have something unique to sell or provide that you can define clearly and that everyone else isn't already doing, or at least you need, maybe they're not doing it in your community or in your niche area that you'd want to be selling to. But that's so crucial that so many people just say, I'm fed up with my boss and I'm tired of working where I'm working, so I'm going to start my own business. And then they just take a plunge without really scoping out what they're doing.
Absolutely. And it's, unfortunately, what's happened, well, fortunately and unfortunately, it's easier than ever to start a business, especially a home-based business.
Yeah.
But on the downside, now that the barriers to entry for starting businesses has come down dramatically due to all the advancements in technology, it's now much more hyper-competitive. And what that means is people need to get better about really planning and, strategy for what they're going to focus on and who they're going to, what value are they going to add to which, segment of customers, and how are they going to monetize that. So the strategy is even more important than ever before.
Yeah, I think it's unique in your promotional material. You say business plans are the leading killer of small businesses, but you also say that you shouldn't start a business without a blueprint, and both those are so true. And yet the problem is, I guess, that so many business plans really aren't effective planning tools. They're just a bunch of number crunching or that type of thing. You talk about this 60-page plan, and that often doesn't have anything really worthwhile in it.
Yeah, and it's, so it's not the fact you don't need to do a plan. It's just how you plan it, how you need to plan is changed. And the issue with the business plan is it doesn't teach you, going back to kind of the number one issue businesses fail is because they're not working on the right stuff. And it's not knowing what you don't know. And the business plans, they don't show you what you should be working on, which is so key.
Yeah. Well, give us a few insider secrets for an effective game plan that will grow your business or get it launched and get it growing.
The number one... Okay. The number one tip I would say is start with designing and thinking about the customer experience.
So true.
And work backwards. If you start from the customer experience and work backwards to how you're really going to add value more than anyone else in your industry, you can't go wrong.
Yeah, that's so funny. Years ago, I met with a guy that was very frustrated because he was trying to start his business, and we were meeting at a hotel one day, and he said, somebody's going to have to start paying me. I'm not going to keep doing this for nothing. And I said, well, Bill, what exactly value do you plan to add to the customer, and how are you going to satisfy the customer's need? Because nobody's going to start paying you just because you look like a nice guy.
Yeah, right. It's kind of funny how sometimes it's easy to forget that.
Yeah, he was very frustrated because no one was paying him. Surprisingly. Maybe because he didn't have an effective, really game plan for what they wanted.
Yeah, well, he was getting ready for the show me the money dance.
This is the $1 million question, because I know it's, and for a lot of middle-aged listeners out there who are attempting to start a business perhaps from their home, like you say, you can do that pretty much on a shoestring now. But how do you avoid burnout as a solo entrepreneur? I know, you know, for 16 years I strived at a home-based business, and I put a couple kids through college and, you know, paid the bills. But my wife and I didn't have an effective vacation together for about 16 years. And quite frankly, I missed out a lot of the joys of my children growing up and everything else because I was basically selling my own time for money and never had enough time and never had enough money. So how do you avoid that burnout? What's the best way to do that?
You know, the best way, and I mean, unfortunately, and I've been there before. I mean, when I started in the business world, I experienced the same thing. And, you know, what I learned is that it's really about mindset. So what people need to understand is, you know, you need to build a business that can operate when you're not there.
That's so true.
Yeah, so really understand, you know, leverage and getting the right people that can, you know, manage the business for you. And granted, that's not, you know, the luxury you have sometimes when you're starting out. But if you're planning for that on and how you're going to bring some of that into help run your business, because, you know, I think it's so important to have vacations. I mean, you need some time away, and it's a lot more fun business to be in when you can step away from it.
Yeah, it's so crucial that you somehow train other people to duplicate the skills that you have, or you know, expand that so that other people are working for you, or you're of course, on the internet now, the internet itself can do a lot of work for you if it's set up right, so that you're not killing yourself sitting at a desk all day, because like you say, that certainly drains away your creativity, and your the stress level takes away a lot of what you're trying to do. And the most stressful thing, obviously, of all is if you're worried constantly about how you're going to pay the bills. It's not very easy to develop a creative business strategy.
No, yet it's, you know, I think the number one, you know, big trap that people fall into, and like I said, you know, I definitely did this for a while, is, right, you don't think that anybody can do the job as well as you can, but that's just not true.
Oh, yeah, that's, yeah, it was interesting, and I think it was on your website, you talked about when you prepared a business plan with or resolved some business issues on the back of a cocktail napkin or something, and you were pointing out that you didn't have to have this real extensive personal business plan, but you needed to think about what the other person wanted and come up with a strategy together with somebody else. Tell us a little about that.
Yeah, you know, thanks for asking. I'm in the midst of, I think, a fundamental problem why the failure rate is so high with small businesses is because there's not really great training out there for, I mean, especially for people that might not have a business background, of how to think about your business, how to go about putting together strategy, and how to really run a business. It's really done more so now by, you know, if you go out and search into trying to find some information how to grow a business, you know, everybody's kind of got you need to do this specific marketing strategy or this and this. Nobody's teaching the big picture and how to break that down. And it's more important than ever for business owners to understand how to evaluate the options. You can't do everything successfully. So it's almost like saying the way it's taught today is like saying, all you need to make cookies is sugar.
Yeah, there's so many simple formulas out there in writing that really lead nowhere except to frustration. But like
yeah,
so
this
really...
I'm actually doing some of the training, so it's really a lot of my strategies are actually over getting together over drinks with people and you know, doing some quick 5 minute, 10 minute strategies on the back of cocktail napkins. So
yeah,
it's really designed for people that don't have the time to plan.
That's so much more valuable to share thoughts with somebody else and to open the discussions with an attitude that we're win-win here. We want both sides of the both parties to achieve what their objectives are in this plan. And if you build a plan with the customer, obviously, is the ultimate objective. It makes a huge difference rather than just sitting down and talking about the nice office space you're going to have and all that kind of good stuff. And building a bunch of numbers out of the sky.
Yeah, it really needs to start with, you know, understanding the value you're going to add to the customer set you're trying to sell to.
Well, tell us a little bit about your website and this great new Wine Gabby convertible purse and wine carrier. I think it's a fascinating product, and I'm sure a lot of our listeners will want to go check out that website and check out that product.
Yeah, so my website is winegabby.com, so WineGabby.com.
Yeah.
And, yeah, I'm getting ready to launch that product in the next few weeks, and it's really designed for women, you know, that are style conscious, that want to be able to tote their wine or favorite bottle of spirits around in style and be able to carry some of their other essentials as well. So it functions, it's kind of like a two-in-one bag.
Yeah, it's a fascinating bag. Maybe you'll have to design one of those for us men, because I'm kind of tired of carrying my wine around in a paper sack.
There you go. It's funny. I've had a lot of men ask me that, too, so I think that's going to be my next project.
Okay, yeah, I would highly recommend you go to www.winegabby.com, and also, you can check out Nikki's. You have another website called nikkipfeiffer.com, nikkipfeiffer.com, and that tells a little about your history. And I won't mention, but this morning I had a nice breakfast of cottage cheese. One of the things you said was cottage cheese makes you sick, the sight of it.
Oh, yeah, I'm not a cottage cheese fan at all.
On that website. So you can find out a bunch of interesting facts about what Nikki does not like or what she likes. And I would highly recommend you go to that and explore this new Wine Gabby convertible wine carrier that sounds like a very interesting product. And thank you so much, Nikki, for the advice you offered for either current entrepreneurs or maybe budding entrepreneurs.
Well, thanks so much, and have a great day.
And best success in your product launch.
Thanks so much.
You've been listening to Middle Age Can Be Your Best Age, hosted by Roy Richards, an expert on midlife renewal and author of both A Midlife Challenge, Wake Up, and Wake Up, Captain and Crew, Restart Your Engines. You can learn more about Roy and his Middle Age Renewal Training System by visiting his website, middleagerenewal.com.